Tonight I'm going to be sharing on finding strength and rest. Finding strength and rest. And we're going to start in Psalm 119, verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." And the word entrance there could also be translated unfolding, teaching, or declaration. So the declaration or the unfolding of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. So God's word enlightens us, right? And if you think about God's word and light, it helps to give us light in darkness. And it also helps to lighten the loads that we sometimes carry, right? So sometimes we can be carrying some things, some burdens, and it helps to lighten those loads. It helps us to find rest. But it all starts with God's word and the unfolding of it, right? When it's taught to us, when it's explained to us, it helps to give us light. Go to Proverbs 19, 21. So in a quest to find strength and to find rest, we need to start with God's word. Just makes sense. Proverbs 19:21. It says, "There are many devices in a man's heart." And the word devices is plans, purposes, or thoughts. So there are many plans or purposes in a man's heart. We can think of all kinds of different ways to get ourselves out of trouble and oftentimes into trouble, right? There's all kinds of stuff in a man's heart. And it says, "Nevertheless, despite that, the counsel of the Lord, that shall what? Stand." And this is a figure of speech by omission here. It doesn't really say anything about the devices in a man's heart except for the fact that there are some. But by omission, it's compared to the word which is stands, right? Which implies that the devices in a man's heart are often things that aren't going to stand. They're not going to last the test of time. They're not going to be sure or firm, right? But nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that's what's going to stand. That's what lives and abides forever, right? And so when we need to find strength and rest, the last place we should look is within, right? Trust your own heart. You hear that a lot, right? Now, we need to trust God's word. Go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1. So, like I said, when we need strength and rest, we need to look to God and his word and not to our own hearts, not to what the world promotes, right? Because where do the ideas in the world come from? They come from men too. And those men are influenced by the adversary, right? He's ultimately the deceiver. He's ultimately the one who's promoting that stuff. But we go to the word. In Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Right? So God is our light and our salvation, the one who rescues us. And he's our strength, right? We're going to find strength in God. And when we find that strength, it helps us to not be afraid, right? It helps us to not be afraid. Verse 2, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Right? So God is our strength. And even when the circumstances seem grim, we can be confident. We can have confidence in God. Verse 4. One thing have I desired, right? And that's to wait eagerly or hope for, to look unto. One thing have I waited eagerly for, and that is to dwell, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Right? So even if all the circumstances around us are not the best, if we are seeking God, if that is the one thing that we're desiring, is to have a dwelling, a fellowship with God, to really dwell with him, then we're going to be in a good place. Then we can have great confidence, even in terrible circumstances. We can find strength. And verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. And that wait is the same wait that we saw above. Right? It's to wait on, to wait eagerly, to hope for. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And another way that we can wait on the Lord is to trust in him, right? To have great confidence in him, to be sure that he's going to come through for us. And when we do that, then we can be of a good courage. Then he will strengthen our hearts. So if we're looking to find strength, we need to trust in God. We need to look unto him. Go to Psalm 90, verse 12. Oh, sorry, Psalm 37, verse 39. 37, 39. Psalm 37, 39 says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Right? We just saw that. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they what? Trust in him. Right? God is our strength and our deliverer. Right? And what is our job in all of this? It's to trust him. Right? It's to trust him. Right? We just have to trust him. That's when we find strength and rest and peace. When we trust him. Go to Psalm 90, verse 12. A lot of times our first instinct is, okay, I'm going to pray about it. And then 15 minutes later, we're trying to figure it out for ourselves, right? We give it to God, but then we go right back to saying, all right, how am I going to get myself out of this? What am I going to do about this? How are we going to make this work? Right? Instead of just trusting in God, trusting in his word, that he will give us the answer, that his word is true, and that the promises that are in it are ours. In Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, so teach us to number our days. And that is an expression, number our days, is to realize the brevity of life, or to consider the time that we have. So teach us to consider the time that we have, the shortness of life, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Right? So teach us to understand that life is short, but also how to use our time wisely, right? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What are we doing with the time that we do have? Are we using that time wisely, right? And so we want to go to God and ask him to show us, how are we supposed to be using our time? What are we supposed to be doing, rather than trying to figure it out ourselves? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And if you look at the Word of God, you'll find that generally speaking, this is broad generalization, but generally speaking, we should be using our time to serve God and his people, or to refresh ourselves so that we can get back to serving God and his people. Right? That's what we should be doing with the majority of our time. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, it says, take heed unto what? Thyself. Take heed unto thyself and unto the what? Doctrine. And the word heed, or take heed, is to pay close attention to or focus on. And it's a two-part thing here. It's unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Right? So we're to focus on our own lives. We're to examine our own lives and how we're living. And that includes not only the word, right, which is the doctrine, but it also includes, like, how are we doing? What do we need to do to kind of recharge our batteries and make sure that we're charged up to be able to do what God wants us to do? So take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Continue in God's word. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. And the word save there is to make whole, right? This isn't about salvation or getting born again. It's to make whole. It's to restore. In doing this, thou shalt both restore, make thyself whole, and them that hear thee, right? To those who you are serving and speaking the word and doing God's word for, right? We know that Timothy is a leadership epistle. Right? So it talks to leaders about how they are to lead and how they are to serve people. But part of what we need to do is, number one, spend time in the word, right? Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. So you want to take time for yourself and for the word. But there are other things that you can do to kind of recharge, right? And five relaxing or recharging things that God designed are, one, his word, two, sleep, right? It's hard to be your best if you're tired. Music, God designed music, and it can be very relaxing and recharging. God designed laughter, right? Fellowship together and laughter. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Right? God designed laughter and nature, right? God designed this wonderful planet that we live on, right? He put Adam and Eve in the garden to dress it and to keep it, right? That was to spend time in their environment. So spending time in these things can be really great for resting and recharging, right? So one of the things that we can do is take heed unto ourselves. Make sure that we're spending time in the word and in these other things so that we are charged up and ready to serve. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Right? So God designed these things for us to enjoy in life. Right? We don't want to burn ourselves out on service. God expects us to take heed to ourselves. Now, he can strengthen you and he can help you do crazy things when you are tired or, you know, kind of at the end and still be able to accomplish stuff. But he designed you to, you know, get restored as well. In Hebrews 4, verse 9, it says, there remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Right? So, he that enters into this rest is somebody who gives up on their own works, trying to figure it out themselves, trying to do it their own way. Let us labor, let's work, which is kind of a cool expression, right? Or a figure of speech. Let us labor to enter into rest, right? Let us work to rest. But let us strive to do that. Strive to cease from doing our own works and do the things that God wants us to do. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick, it's alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner or a critic of the thoughts and intents of what? The heart. And there's many devices in a man's heart, as we learned, right? And so the word of God is that critic. It's that thing that we check our thoughts against, right? It's the thing that we kind of calibrate our mental to, right? And we find rest when we give up on our own stuff and we get back to doing God's word, and when we line everything up with God's word. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. So we want to make sure that we do work to enter into that rest, that we put the effort in to get aligned with God and his word so that we can find that rest. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, this is in context of the hope, right? The hope is another thing that we can find rest in. But it says, "But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Right? So we've already been given the victory. Therefore, because of this, because the hope that we have, because we've already got the victory, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always what? Abounding in what? Right, the work of the Lord. So we want to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, in doing what God's word tells us to do. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, right? It's not in vain. It's not a waste of time, right? We can be steadfast, unmovable, and committed to the work of the Lord. And that's where we're going to find rest. That's where we're going to find peace. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Right? And then we'll be able to abound in that work. Right? We'll be able to really do it to our utmost. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Right? So God's expectation is that we minister to the saints and continue to do that. And he is not unrighteous to forget that, right? Our work is not in vain, as it said in 1 Corinthians. He remembers it. He sees it, right? He really appreciates it. It blesses God. He sees your loving work, right? And it really blesses him. And as we do that stuff, we're going to find that rest. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. So we'll close here in 1 Peter 5. Right, so God is our strength, right? We go to his word, he's able to strengthen our hearts. And as we put his word first and we do the things that he wants us to do, we're going to find rest. And he gives us practical ways to recharge ourselves, but it's so that we can get back to ministering to the saints. In 1 Peter 5, verse 6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you," right? He really loves you. He wants you to come to him with the stuff that's on your heart because he cares about you. And he wants you to unload that stuff and find rest. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Looking for folks he can eat up. Whom we can resist. Whom resist steadfast in the what? Faith. Right? The way that we resist the adversary is through believing. And that's not believing what's on the nightly news. Time, Life, or Digest, or whatever Dr. Wehrle used to say. Right? It's by believing God's word. We resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Right? That same junk happens to our brethren that are in the world. But we can all resist by our believing. And then it says in verse 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, and the word suffered is acted upon, right? After you've been acted upon for a while, right? Because the adversary, right, tribulation's gonna come. It doesn't say in the Bible that everything's gonna be easy peasy, right? And sometimes the adversary is gonna try to rattle your cage and get you to be afraid. He's a roaring lion. He's looking for ways to gobble you up, but you can resist through your believing. And after that you've been acted upon a while, make you perfect. And that make you perfect can be translated mend you or restore you. Right? So God, in all of his grace, after a little while, will mend you and restore you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Right? And that's the promise of God. Right? So when the tough times come, we resist through our believing and our trusting in God. And then his promise is that he's going to restore you. He's going to establish you, strengthen you, and settle you, right? He's going to restore you again. So you'll find that strength and that rest in God as you believe his word, right? He promises to come back through for you. You cast all your care to him, and he's going to take care of it. And that's how we find our strength and our rest with God.